Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Sparky Fiverr, 1250 AM, The Fan, 55 past the hour, time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout, brought to you by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Bet on all your favorite sports 24-7. Enjoy over 70 self-service kiosks, wall-to-wall TVs, free parking, great food, and a full bar. Bet big, bet bold, learn more at paysbig.com. Joining me now, he is the beat writer for the Milwaukee Bucks for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter. He is Jim Ozarski. You can follow him at his name as well. Let's talk about the recent developments with the Bucks, Jim. Your initial thoughts when finding out that Adrian Griffin had been fired by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I guess surprise at the timing of it, you know, at 31 or 30 and 13 coming off a win in Detroit on an off day before, you know, a two game set with Cleveland. They had won, I think, 5 of 6 at that point. So that was a surprise, but Steve, you know, you could kind of feel like the team was listing. Like, even though they were 17 over 500, you know, there were, going back to the very start of the season, you know, unhappiness with the defense and lack of comfort for some players on offense and, you know, a lot of conversations between players and Griffin about what they were doing. And while they were winning, it just never felt easy. There always was a little bit of a discomfort. I don't want to say bad vibes, because that's not, I don't think that's true, but definitely, you know, when, especially when John Horst said, you know, yesterday that, hey, they thought they could get better and move to a different level. Like, I think we've all seen that through, you know, the first 43 games of Adrian Griffin's head coaching career.
John Horst likes to talk about, well, you know, there was change, you know, since he took the job and so forth. But realistically, how is this any different if Lillard isn't traded to the Milwaukee Bucks? Does Adrian Griffin still have a job if it's Jrue Holiday here?
My first blush is I say yes, because, look, John Horst frankly said the dynamic and makeup of the team that he was hired to coach in June significantly changed by October 1st. And I think whether it be strictly defensive, whether it be offensive principles, you know, or even just what the makeup of the team and the cohesion. I mean, look, Sparky, you know, in the initial press conference, it was, hey, great foundation here, not changing any of that. I'm just sort of rearranging the furniture, if you will. Well, you know, the whole house changed, you know, when Damian Lillard was acquired. And so maybe, you know, the team and the job and sort of the weight of this team definitely changed for Adrian. And he just maybe couldn't get his arms around that. And the Bucks just decided, look, there's a real chance to win a championship this year. But it needs a different voice. I still think there were expectations to win or contend for one this summer, Sparky, when he was hired, and they thought, you know, the core four were returning. And maybe they thought Brook Lopez wasn't coming back. I don't know. Maybe that was part of this too. But yeah, it definitely changed. And I think, you know, if the team that they had on September 26th was here, maybe they're not 30 and 13, Sparky, because I think Dame has helped them win some of these games. But if they're the 3 or 4 seed, I mean, that's something we would have seen. And I don't think anybody would be panicking over that either. And maybe the defense is in the top 15 as opposed to the bottom third.
I'm confused here. with Jrue Holiday and that roster, if they don't get Damian Lillard, it's still championship or bust with expectations. Or was I way out in left field thinking that the team that Bud had last year that got knocked out of the playoffs, that he got fired over, that came back essentially intact, all of a sudden now it wasn't going to be championship or bust for everybody involved? But now when they got Damian Lillard, now it is championship or bust? Like, what am I missing here?
It was an interesting line John Horst walked in sort of saying that, right? Because I do think, look, this was a heavy tax-paying team. They had far more powder, to burn in terms of other acquisitions on September 26th, right, before you trade Jrue Holiday. You had all those first-round picks. You had more financial capabilities to maybe amend the roster at midseason. I think it was a championship mentality. I don't think, Sparky, if we were sitting here on opening night with the core as the same, of course they would have thought they were going to win a championship. I think what they thought was looking at the Bud firing and looking how there were no adjustments made on how to handle Jimmy Butler. There were no adjustments made on how to handle not having Chris healthy against Boston, plus the three-point defense. I think that's what we'd be focused on. Like, think about it, Sparky. We've seen zone. We've seen 1-5 switching. We've seen drop mixed with some switching. We've seen a lot of the technical adjustments that we didn't see in the previous regime that everyone wanted. Right, Sparky? Now, the effectiveness of those has not been there because the personnel is maybe not the same to lead that. So I think that's also been the issue, is Adrian's adjusted, but I don't know if he's necessarily adjusted for the personnel he currently has. So, yeah, it's a fine line to walk. It really is when you're 30-13, and they're trying to thread that needle, and it's just, we'll have to see how it plays out.
I'll tell you what frustrates me, and I went off about this in the Green and Growing podcast that Nathan Marzian and I do. This whole thing about, well, Giannis is the one that wanted Adrian Griffin. Okay, let's go over this. You tell me where I'm wrong. They, meaning the front office and ownership, interviewed a bunch of dudes after they got rid of Bud. Then they brought their final three or whatever it was to Giannis and said, hey, man, why don't you talk to these guys and see who you like, who you don't like, and then get back to us and we'll go from there. They thought giving him Nick Nurse, Kenny Atkinson, and Adrian Griffin, former NBA player, they thought Nick Nurse won a championship, he'll be the guy he picks, and we go. And then when he didn't like Nick Nurse, according to reports, and decided, yeah, I like Adrian Griffin the best out of these three, they went, oh, crap. And they went, oh, crap, and that's clearly what they said, because then you forced Terry Stotts down his throat. They had no relationship. There was a respect thing there, I think, from the word jump between those two. Then Stotts walks out. Then you get into the season, and according to the report out of The Athletic, all of a sudden, around the Indiana game in the in-season tournament, now you force Doc Rivers on him to be a unofficial consultant or whatever. That was the day Adrian Griffin got fired. That was the day. When they introduced Doc to him, it was over. Because at that point in their brain, they're like, hey, look, we have Doc involved. Let's see what Doc thinks of this whole thing, personnel and everything else, maybe what he would want to do one way or the other. And once they got the rap from Doc of what he would do, see ya, Adrian Griffin. Hello, Doc Rivers. They never trusted him from the beginning. That's on them for putting Griffin in the final three to talk to Giannis. Giannis just went with what he was given to him. It wasn't like he took a paper to John Horst and said, I'll only play for Adrian Griffin. That didn't happen. There's no chance that happened.
Yeah, I for as powerful as a lot of these players are, no one's hiring a coach. That is ownership and GM. But to your point, yeah, he was more involved in this process. Like, I know Giannis kind of joked about, well, no one said I hired Bud. Well, the breakfast with Bud was like a formality. Yeah, like, this was a much, much different scenario, as our Lori Nickel pointed out last night. And he was invested. He called this a partnership. And it was clearly someone, and that was Adrian's, look, this is June or late May. That was Adrian's strong suit, was building relationships, being able to communicate, connect with star players, and tactically be different in games, malleable and adjust, right? That is different from Mike Budenholzer. We've seen this in coaching changes, tales old as time, Sparky. You, one coach is fired, and what do? You kind of lean toward the opposite the next time around, right? And so in terms of, you know, the other stuff and the veteran assistance, look, Terry Stotts made total sense at the time. It was an arranged marriage, but it was one that both men agreed to. And I'll be honest, again, I think the acquisition of Lillard further strained that. I know at the time it was, oh, this will be good because Damian has this relationship. But if that was already trying to get work through Steve, I don't know if, you know, Damian's 10-year head coach is a good thing, right? So, and I think both parties just decided, hey, this is not working. Let's cut bait. Now, in terms of the consulting, I'm curious to hear what John Horst and Doc Rivers say about that, if they'll even address it. I feel like they'll have to make some sort of comment. But yeah, you're not really doing your head coach many favors if that's the case. You know, and it definitely looks a little off by all parties that if Doc is locked up here soon, that he's the guy, Sparky. But I think it clearly, the Lillard acquisition tilted the access of the Bucks, and I don't know if it's Adrian's fault per se that it's gone this way. Again, he's 30-13. They're a very good team. You know, and I don't know if it's the Bucks' fault that they went this way in June. I don't think John Horst knew that this could happen in September. You know what I mean? I think things changed so rapidly at that point, Sparky.
They screwed this whole thing up. Sham Sharania reported earlier today, according to his sources, Doc is signing a deal through 26-27 worth in the range of $40 million to be the Bucks' head coach. Now, if that's the deal, do tell me this. When Doc chokes it away in the playoffs this year and chokes it away in the playoffs next year, and now he's still got a couple years left on his deal, are we going to fire him, pay him for 2 years, then go hire somebody else? Because I feel like we're going to start going down a dangerous, dangerous road here if we're going to start panicking mid-season on different guys.
Well, those are postseason hypotheticals.
Well, I mean, it's likelihoods based on Doc's history, let's be honest.
And, well, all I'll say is clearly Bucks ownership and John Horst are acting like a organization that is a big market that has very little tolerance for what they perceive could be a weakness in roster or a weakness in coaching, however you want to call it. Jimmy Haslam has no issue paying coaches not to coach and hiring new coaches if he thinks it's not going well. Wes Edens, with his soccer club in Europe, is the same way. They have fired coaches and paid other coaches. I mean, that's an ownership issue, and clearly those two gentlemen do not have a problem with that. Now, in terms of Rivers, look, I'm curious what he has to say about the last 10 years and having some very good teams, having 3-1 leads, et cetera. But I'm sure the retort, Sparky, is he's never had Giannis and Dame. You know, Joel and James are pretty good, but that's not this group, right? Chris Middleton, for as much maligned as he is locally, does an opponent want him at 16 feet with no one around him or some smaller defender to win a game? Like, I don't think Doc's had that since his title teams, which again, a long time ago. So I don't know, Sparky. I mean, I think on one hand, Wisconsin sports teams don't typically act like this. So this is kind of what the Cubs do, right? David Ross had a job until Craig Council was better.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then look,
that was snake in the grass stuff there. That's what that was.
Well,
and that's on council for acting that way, knowing damn right well they had a manager under contract. That's on him. And if somebody pulled that crap on him, he'd be livid. So that's a bad topic with me.
But that's the point, though. This is Yankee style. This is
New York style. Correct.
Pro sports.
Yes.
Right, Sparky. So it's a little different. And look, I'll give John Horst and ownership credit in that way. Now we'll see how it plays out. Maybe this doesn't work. Maybe they do lose in the second round or the first, whatever it may be. But I think they felt at this point this could get them beyond that. And so again, it's unique. Look how long it took, you know, the Packers to make some changes. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, time will only tell in this regard.
You can't tell. I'm livid about how this whole thing played out. Like, I don't mind the fact that you admit that you made a mistake with Adrian Griffin. Fine. No problem. But when I saw the Doc Rivers whole, oh, here you go, meet him. He's going to be your consultant. I've never heard of that in my life in year one as a head coach. Somebody brought in midseason, a guy that's won a title, is now going to be your consultant. And then 30 days later, 45 days later, whatever it is, now he's the new head coach. I mean, that's Larry Drew at the Jabari Parker press conference while they're behind his back trying to get a trade done for Jason Kidd. It's that same type of crap. Now, this was more in broad daylight run in front of Adrian Griffin, and if he couldn't figure it out, that's on him. But it's that same type of stuff, and maybe it is New York James Dolan-style business stuff, but I hate it. I don't like it. I don't like it at all, regardless of how this whole thing plays out. It pisses me off. He is Jim Ozarski, and he's handling this way better than me. He covers the Milwaukee Bucks for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can follow him on Twitter at Jim Ozarski. And I'm assuming we'll see Doc coaching this weekend would be my guess if this deal is done, right?
I mean, look, as we record this, nothing is official yet. They do have a game Friday. They've got a game Saturday, and then they're off on the road to play the defending champion Denver Nuggets and arguably the best player in the world on Monday. And I mean, look, you made the change to give Doc and whatever assistant some time here. I don't know why they're, as we are speaking, there isn't something scheduled.
And they canceled practice.
Doc. So who knows? Maybe after we record this bargain, it'll all come out. But I would imagine they want to get this done as soon as possible because, again, time is short. And you made the move to now for a reason. So I don't know how many games you want Joe Prunty, you know, steering the ship here when you've got 3 and 4 days coming up.
Now, him I like. He's a good dude. I like Joe Prunty. Jim, thanks so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. And have fun covering this New York-style way of doing things in Milwaukee. Very much so. Have fun.
All right, Sparky, talk to you soon.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.